Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, Your Call to Action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth together with you. I'm with my co-host, Dennis Gaither. Welcome to the show, Dennis.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Hi, Cornelia.
Hi, Dennis. I'm so excited for today's show because, as you know, Living Heaven on Earth, we're always offering practical tools on how we can practice living heaven on earth in ways that empower and uplift us to shine our brightest light and also to support us in our transformational journey. And that's why I'm so grateful, Dennis, that you brought this topic today about forgiveness and healing through forgiveness. And the name of the show today is called You Have Not Lost Your Innocence, Healing Through Forgiveness. And I just want to share this quote that that you shared with me, and that is, you have not lost your innocence. It is for this you yearn. This is your heart's desire. This is the voice you hear, and this is the call, which cannot be denied, A Course in Miracles. Thank you, Dennis, for bringing this beautiful topic. I'm looking forward to learning all about the perception of practicing forgiveness in a newer way, in a different way. So take us right to it. Take us into what is your take on the forgiveness practice?
Okay. So I'm happy to do that, Cornelia, and thank you for the introduction and just the opportunity to be here and share this. Yeah. It's very meaningful to me. I want to start with a story. I love stories. And it's sometimes stories about my own foibles sometimes can be the best stories when they bring healing. This is a story about something that occurred. It was about more than 10 years ago. And I had taken some time off from my job, and I was in kind of taking a day of preparation because I was going to be offering a forgiveness workshop, a 2.5 day long forgiveness workshop that I had not done before. So I had a little nervousness. And so I decided just to take a day off to just prepare. And a little bit of background, that there was a situation going on in my work that had been a little bit disturbing, involving a person who's, you know, kind of created, I felt at the time that he might be creating a sense of unease for me. There were issues there that I found difficult. But that was mostly in the background at this moment, but it was a background issue that I had asked for some guidance and some support with. But it wasn't in the forefront of my thinking at the time for that day. But I hadn't gone very far through the day when suddenly there was a little flash. And it was a little memory, not involving that person, but a friend. And in that moment, there was a sense that the friend had misunderstood something that I don't even remember what it was, but something that felt important. And I felt that the person hadn't listened to me, and I found myself suddenly getting really angry for, you know, no particular reason, totally out of proportion to the provocation anyway. But I was getting really, it was just like a flash of anger, and I was home by myself. So I was I took the opportunity to give some voice to it, and pretty soon I'm standing up in my house yelling, pointing an accusing finger, "You don't listen, you don't listen, you don't listen." And the next thing I know, and I kid you not, the next thing I know, I am standing in front of a mirror, pointing this finger at my own reflection, saying, "You don't listen."
What a sign.
And then, well, that got my attention. As soon as I caught that, it's like, oh my, yes, we have some work to do here, don't we? Mm-hmm. But the first thing that happened is I turned the attack, the sense of guilt, away from the other person, and then turned it towards myself. Oh my gosh, how do you think you can be teaching a workshop on forgiveness? Look at all the work you have to do. But the guilt is still there either way, whichever direction it's turned. But I decided.
Okay, one thing, Dennis, is to say that again, because you said it, but I don't know if we all heard what you said.
The perception of something wrong, some unworthiness, switches from the other person in my mind. They're not even there. And then it becomes directed at my own personality a little bit with some self-criticism. And then there's a recognition of some need to do some work with this, to take a little moment. Thank you for slowing me down there. That was good.
And what did you say to yourself? This is the part, because you said to yourself,
there were some self-critical things about, how dare I think I could teach this and things like that. The details are not important.
Yeah.
But it was that there was a need to take some moment here and a willingness to just be with this, with the feeling, with whatever's there, and actually invite some larger presence to show me. Mm. And there are layers that I went through, as there often are. There were memories from my past of being a child, feeling like people don't listen, beliefs about myself, about maybe I'm not worth listening to, from early.
Wow.
So the forgiveness at that level is forgive me for believing. It's always about beliefs. Forgive me for believing I'm not worth listening to. But there's always a deeper layer. And this is the one that's a little bit trickier to get to. And this is the more important one for today, is what else is there? What else is there that is within me that I've judged against, that I'm now projecting onto the other person?
That's so huge.
It is huge, and it takes a lot of willingness to go there. And I basically just sort of surrendered and asked to be shown.
Yeah.
And immediately what popped up was that person from work that was sort of sitting in the background. That person's image popped up in my vision, inner vision, along with the words, "You don't listen." And suddenly my whole perception of this other person shifted. I was realizing in that moment that this person wanted me to get something that I wasn't getting. I needed to listen in a deeper layer than just his words. And so my perception of him changed to not seeing him as a threat anymore, but a sense of compassion towards him as someone who just wanted to be understood. And then that shifted something in me. Suddenly my fear eased up, my nervousness, my discomfort, that eased up. And then I could start to have some compassion about whatever in myself might not want me to listen, some little protectors that maybe felt some vulnerability about really allowing the connection.
Yeah.
And so there was healing both ways. And so the ease was, so basically there was a sense of ease with that. Certainly when I came to work the next, that Monday, by golly, that person has completely changed. But what actually was it, the relationship, it shifted. It became one of ease. And then as I was no longer projecting something on him, I could actually see something else, some little light in him, and experience it in myself at the same time.
Yeah. You mentioned willingness. Mm-hmm. You mentioned willingness, being willing to really take a look at projection was, mm-hmm. and also having compassion for yourself at the same time that, hey, so do you think that taking ownership at that point in time is what actually shifted this and taking ownership
you have to be a little bit careful about the wording here. Sometimes taking ownership means we take blame.
Wow.
And it doesn't mean that, but it means there is a certain willingness.
Mm-hmm.
like some space around it, mm-hmm. spaciousness to hold a different possibility. And that, and to, in the beginning, and to start with, that whatever it seems to be coming from outside is to be, have a willingness that this is something in myself that I'm self-creating here, the inner experience of it.
Right. Yeah. So go ahead.
So this was the, you know, the theme of this is about innocence and forgiveness.
Yeah.
And both were there. You know, the innocence is just who I am, we are intrinsically. It's just inherent in us. It's our eternal, we might call it big T, truth. It's unchangeable and eternal. And yet, here in this experience that we find ourselves in, as human beings walking on this planet here, everybody in one way or another has some sense of they've lost their innocence. They've lost it in some way. Mm-hmm. Some deep sense of lack, some sense of unworthiness, some sense of guilt, some sense of aloneness. And the forms really vary from person to person. And every person has some kind of a story that seems to make it make sense to explain it. Although there is a hidden agenda in our stories, they also maintain it.
Yeah.
But if you step back just a little bit, from all those stories that seem to give it each one a uniqueness, if we step back a little bit and you say, but everybody's got a story.
Yeah.
Then we have to kind of start to look at, okay, is there something a little bit more universal than those particular circumstances, the person who said or did something that I think they shouldn't have way back when? Yes, that may have happened on the level of form, and I created beliefs about myself around it. But everybody's got those stories. There's something deeper. If you follow the thread all the way back, it's really deeply buried in our consciousness, very deeply. It has to do with a sense of having separated from source, from whatever term you want to call it, source, God, divine, the oneness of everything. But there is when we separate. Imagine we've separated. We can't really, but imagining we've separated, then there is a sense of lack, and a sense of needing to fulfill that from somewhere else, and also creating a false sense of who we are that is in constant need of reinforcing, of reassuring, getting kind of we keep needing to confirm our separate existence, even though it ultimately brings us a sense of suffering as well.
Yeah. So how do you feel that innocence and forgiveness is related? Innocence is who we are. Mm-hmm. Is who we are living here, heaven on earth. And so how do you feel these two are related?
Well, that's a fantastic question. Thank you, Cornelia. And so the two are related in that forgiveness is the pathway to actually, I could say in a certain way, coming back to our innocence, but it's actually remembering our innocence that all of us, we've projected a world of experiences around ourselves that seems to come back and confirm all these beliefs about ourselves, of who we are and what other people are, not really appreciating that it's actually the beliefs about ourselves that are actually generating those experiences.
Right.
And so forgiveness is really about really undoing those beliefs that hold us in a place of separation. And it's really, but it's also about allowing that to happen. There is a presence inside of us, a voice inside of us that does remember our truth, remembers our innocence. And when we're willing to turn to it, and that means holding lightly what we think is coming to us from outside, then there's guidance in that. And that's really what forgiveness is.
Yeah, I love that. I love that forgiveness is the pathway to the innocence, to our innocence. It's the pathway to get us there, mm-hmm. and having a willingness to be able to experience that by releasing some of the old conditioning and the old beliefs and the stories that we tell. Mm-hmm. So this is a perfect time, Dennis, for us to take a break. We'll take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
buzz for life, buzzed off, feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. If you haven't been practicing active listening or not getting into some bad habits, it's a good idea to go back to the basics and remind yourself how to be a good listener. Here's an idea that might help. When your child comes to you with a story about her day, set aside whatever you're doing and give her your full attention. If you're in the middle of something that can't be put aside, tell her that you really want to be able to give her story your full attention and ask if you could continue the conversation at a specific time. So for example, this sounds like an important story and I'd really like to give it my full attention. Can we talk about it in 10 minutes when supper's in the oven? Active listening might sound like common sense, but often it's these simple skills that get buried in our parenting pack and easily forgotten or overlooked. Challenge yourself to practice this skill for a full week and see if you notice a difference in how much your child is sharing.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We're talking about our innocence today, and we're talking about forgiveness. And during the break, Dennis and I were talking about the traditional forms of forgiveness and making a distinction between the two of them, the psychology of forgiveness, the traditional form. And so help us make that distinction. What is the difference between what you're talking about and our traditional forms of forgiveness?
Okay. Thank you, Cornelia.
Yes, you're welcome.
So it's sometimes surprising the transformation, the healing that can happen from the kind of forgiveness that I'm talking about when they think of it in terms of what we conventionally think of as forgiveness. So it's important to talk a little bit about what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
So first of all, what I call conventional forgiveness, in its simplest form, it means it goes something like somebody did something, you done me wrong, somebody did something, I didn't like it, it hurt me in some way, and so I'm entitled to my resentment, maybe some kind of retribution, maybe some compensation. But in conventional forgiveness, in spite of that, I'll just find a way to let go of it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it doesn't have some limited usefulness. It may help establish the peace a little bit, may help us move on. But one of the things that it does, and it may actually be coming from a place of I'm better than you, I'm so good, I'll forgive you for that horrible thing you did. But one of the things that it fails to do is it doesn't release the sense of guilt, unworthiness in the mind. It doesn't release that. It maybe covers it over. Maybe it says, I'm not going to act on it, but it doesn't really heal it. And so the possibilities for it are somewhat limited by that. Well, let's talk about another kind of forgiveness, the kind that I am referring to when I say forgiveness, or I could also say, call it transformational forgiveness.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that term transformational forgiveness before. So this is good. Yeah,
well, it's sort of what I call it. but it's the sort of forgiveness that is pretty much the theme, the main practice of A Course in Miracles, which has been a path for me for 20 years.
Yes.
And it's been totally transforming for me personally. But what I'm talking about here in this kind of forgiveness, mm-hmm. is something quite different. There is a certain similarity in that we do ultimately give up our resentment, our sense of retribution or right to compensation. We give those up, but it's has a very deeper, much deeper aspect in that we shift our frame of reference in such a way that we see that those were actually never justified in the first place. And it would be more correct to say we allow our frame of reference to be shifted.
Yeah.
But I love what there was a teacher named Pema Chodron, whom I'm sure 90% of the listeners here have probably heard of, a Tibetan Buddhist teacher who. Yeah. Wonderful, but she is one of my favorite quotes from her is, our anger is a result of seeing incompletely. There's a bigger way of seeing. And from that bigger perspective, we can see what, we can see that that actually that our innocence was never lost. Now, a few misconceptions that one can arise from this. This kind of forgiveness is not really focused on the details of the situation. It's not saying the details of the situation informed didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe the person did X thing. Mm-hmm. And it's also not condoning hurtful behavior. It's not actually, it's actually unkind to another person to allow them to continue to hurt us. When we talk about, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the cycle of projection, we could talk about why that is, but... And it doesn't mean that our actions in the world won't have consequences in the world. They do. That's part of everyone's learning journey. The focus is really on what do I think they are as a person. And that reflects intimately what I think I am as a person.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So it's actually seeing beyond the forms, beyond the behaviors, beyond what they did to that that essence, that, you know, you could call it the namaste presence, the divine essence that actually is unchangeable. It is about seeing beyond that. Now, we need some help with that. None of us do that very well all by ourselves. We can try to do sort of an intellectual process around it that doesn't work very well, actually. What we are bringing to forgiveness is our willingness. We're just bringing our willingness. And so one of the things that's worth just remembering here is that who we are in our deepest truth is not necessarily who we are aware that we are all the time. We all forget. Most of us spend most of our lives, maybe all of our lives, in that place of forgetting. And I can tell you for sure when I am in that place of forgetting who I really am, in my spiritual oneness with everything, but instead I'm a little Dennis here, identified with a personality that feels threatened by a world. When those, all of us, but certainly I would include myself in this, when I've forgotten who I am, I can say and do unkind, hurtful things. Mm-hmm. All of us do. Mm-hmm. All of us have done. And there is a false sense that saying or doing anything like that changes the essence of who we are. It doesn't. Who we are does not change. None of that changes the essence of who we are, but what it does do is it hugely affects what we think we are. It hugely affects our perception of ourselves and of each other. hugely. If I say and do unkind, unloving things, I'm going to see myself as an unkind, unloving person. If I do monstrous things, I'll see myself as a monster. And if I see myself as a monster, I'll do monstrous things.
Yeah, it's really
those go together. Mm-hmm. They go together. So what transformational forgiveness is, mm-hmm. is a way of shifting our perceptions. Mm-hmm. It's a way of shifting our perceptions to be changed through our willingness. But it's a way of allowing them to be shifted. It's actually a surrender process. Not so much as a cognitive reframing. That's one level. But this is actually much deeper than simply some kind of a cognitive reframing or changing the story. That's one kind of thing that actually sometimes people attempt as part of forgiveness, is just changing their story. And that's actually not really what we're talking about here. It's something quite deeper.
Yeah. You know, the other day when we were preparing for the show, talking about forgiveness and the different points and the talking points, one of the things that I loved that you said about forgiveness was, what is forgiveness about? It's about believing, not doing.
Right. So forgiveness, really what it is about our beliefs. You know, forgive me for believing that I, you know, it may start as a projection. Forgive me for believing that person is unworthy of my love. But it's really about forgive me for believing that I'm unworthy of love. So the forgiveness process may start with seem to be focusing on the other person. But that's never the last step. It kind of leads us into talking a little bit about some of the deeper psychology of how this works.
Yes.
And to really understand the psychology of forgiveness, it's really essential to understand projection. Yeah. It's only by understanding projection that we can understand how is it that when I forgive another person, I'm actually forgiving myself. And that story that I led with is a beautiful example of projection.
Yes.
I mean, to the point where I'm yelling at my own reflection in the mirror, you don't listen. Something I actually feel like I'm a good listener, but sometimes I'm not. So there's a little judgment about myself when I'm not.
Yeah. And would you say that, you know, because how did it come to your awareness again?
By my willingness to, basically it came through my willingness and really an invitation asking to be shown.
Asking to be shown, because at first you had a little bit of a you had a thought that, you know, that somebody at work, there was a little bit of a
there was a little bit of a thing, a niggle that had been niggling me for a while, and so basically I was presented the opportunity to heal it.
Yes.
But let's go a little bit more into projection a little bit here, because and where this comes from is the sense of, I'm going to just kind of call it guilt in the mind. And it's not the real guilt, but it's the imagined guilt. Mm-hmm. The deepest layers has to do with the imagined that we separated from source. But in its more accessible layers, it has to do with the various attacks and things that we do with each other. But there's a sense somewhere of something inside. I'm going to use myself as an example. Something in me that I've judged against. There's a pain with that. And I try to repress it. Denial. But this doesn't work really all that well. And that little ego part of me, of all of us, but it kind of has a certain agenda of keeping this whole separation thing going. That's what it's there for. Kind of says, hey, I know you can get rid of this by seeing it somewhere else, projecting it out. And so now what gets projected out is the guilt in the mind, not behavior. It's not you spot it, you got it. But what gets projected is the sense of guilt, sense of unworthiness. And once that occurs, that starts a process in which we start to gather evidence to support it.
Yes.
We create judgments about the person or situation, or maybe it's about our own personality, wherever we project it to. We start to have emotional reaction about it. Maybe we feel angry, maybe we feel sad, maybe we feel scared. But now we don't feel good. We've lost our peace. And by golly, we've lost our peace because of them. So now we are into blame them for my loss of peace. I'm into blame them for my loss of peace. And once I take that on, now I have identified myself as a victim. I might not use that word, but I am taking that on. And from the victim stance, attack and retaliation is justified.
Yeah. And also just keep telling the story and keep building a new story.
Well, let me kind of continue here about how this goes, because the attack on the other may not be a very overt. It can be, you know, yell at them, you don't listen. That would be fairly overt. But it may actually be on a much more subtle level. It may just be dark thoughts. Maybe in this day and age, I'll just unfriend them on Facebook or just close them out of my life or something like that. But that attack, then there's something in us that knows what we're doing here, that we know that we have attacked the divine child's truth.
You know what I actually call that when you like what you just said? I just want to speak to this because I just saw this. And that is a when you said I'm going to unfriend them on Facebook or whatever, I call this a spiritual bypass. It's just kind of like you're using this bypass and you're spiritually bypassing it just by justifying it. And I'm just going to do this instead of really doing what it is that you were doing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree. Yes, it is a bypass, but it's actually a little bit more even than a bypass, because it then actually feeds the guilt in the mind.
Yeah.
So we have a cycle. We try to get rid of the guilt by projecting it, but we actually just get more.
Yeah.
Just get more. It doesn't really get rid of it, but because we dissociate it, we don't necessarily connect that we're feeling worse about ourselves. Maybe we're getting more depressed with the projection that we made. So the way off of the wheel, the cycle of projection, is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, so it may start with, I see somebody else as guilty of something. They did something. Maybe the person didn't listen to me, so they're guilty of not being, you know, really attentive or caring enough, whatever. And so I start there, but ultimately it's something about me not being caring enough about myself. But it's not arrived at by an intellectual process most effectively. It's like, okay, I'm willing to just be present to what is my upset here, and I'm willing to be shown, and I ask for that. What is it that I'm seeing about them? And it's not the behavior, it's what do I think they are as a person?
Yeah,
that's good. Forgive me for believing they are X as a person, but it's also about what am I believing about myself in relation to that? Because it's always a clue. I find that if I practice the forgiveness first with wherever it shows up, and maybe it's first attached to another person, I find if I do that first, whatever it is that I might be projecting on them that is something in me becomes actually much easier. It just comes up, and sometimes it surprises me what it is. And I don't know that I would have gotten it by some intellectual process. Oh, I must be projecting this. It's a little deeper practice, I find.
Pardon? You were talking about it's a deeper process of the projection, of being able to really look at when you're projecting it out onto another person and being real.
It's a surrendering process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the example that I gave, it ultimately is I'm kind of letting this other one off the hook and myself off the hook. Not about not having consequences of behavior, but about neither one of us have lost our innocence.
Yeah. So what are the effects of forgiveness? What are the effects of forgiveness, and what does it do for us?
Well, it does lots of things. I can start with what it does, I think, pretty much for everybody. When I actually release that sense of guilt in the mind, in myself and the other, there is this huge sense of relief. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of relief, and there's also a sense of clarity. It's like the filters that we put in front of seeing each other are not quite so dense. There's a little clearer vision. And sometimes if there is some action that might be called upon in a situation, there's a little bit more clarity about what it might be. And sometimes that can be kind of a process. It may not happen all at once. What I find for myself is the things that are more of a process are more things, the more I'm identified with something, the more of a process it is to let go of. But it gets there. as long as the willingness is there. But the other one is maybe a little bit more subtle. And it kind of accumulates over time. Because the forgiveness is, it's about kind of letting go of my identity as a little den of self here a little bit to allow something larger to come in. And each time that I do that, that sense of that larger self as being who I am, as opposed to the personality self as who I am, establishes itself more and more. It establishes itself through actual experience, not an intellectual concept. And so that it becomes more and more of an abiding presence. And then it becomes more possible to start to let go of that false self, to start to let go of that ego self. You can't let go of anything if you think it's what you are. And so there has to be some path of kind of recognizing, oh, that's not who I am. Which letting go means just simply not that it goes away and it vanishes, but it just simply is held more lightly. It still raises its head, still does every day, but it is it's a little bit easier to not believe. It's a little bit easier to hold it in a little more lighthearted way. Let me actually read you something. I want to read you something from the course here about that.
Absolutely.
Kind of here.
And I have another good question to ask after.
Okay. You want the question first? You want me to read something first?
Read something first.
Okay, cool. This is from for people who actually are students of A Course in Miracles. I'm going to read first a little bit from a lesson. It's called Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want.
Ah, okay.
So, what could you want forgiveness cannot give? Do you want peace? Forgiveness offers it. Do you want happiness, a quiet mind, a certainty of purpose, and a sense of worth and beauty that transcends the world? Do you want care and safety and the warmth of sure protection always? Do you want a quietness that cannot be disturbed, a gentleness that can never be hurt, a deep abiding comfort and a rest so perfect it can never be upset? All this forgiveness offers you and more. It sparkles on your eyes as you awake and gives you joy with which to meet the day. It soothes your forehead while you sleep, and rests upon your eyelids so you see no dreams of fear and evil, malice and attack. And when you wake again, it offers you another day of happiness and peace. All this forgiveness offers you and more. I love those.
That's so beautiful. I mean, I just see that as a beautiful thing to read to a child when they they get up in the morning, start their day, saying that to, raising your children with that. With that level of consciousness, how beautiful that is, with that truth, right?
Yeah.
That's reading it to little kids, your children, your grandchildren. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Or those little parts inside of us that may feel kind of young and tender.
Yes. And, it's part of the innocence you were talking about. But one of my questions for you, Dennis, was how do you think that Source, God, deals with forgiveness practices or...
How does it? Well, okay, that's a great question. Actually, it does. It actually says something very startling in A Course in Miracles, which it says that God doesn't forgive. Because God's never judged. Because God's never judged.
Yeah, because there's nothing to forgive.
And but yet that A Course in Miracles is full of it. There's hardly a page that goes by that doesn't talk about forgiveness directly or indirectly, and offers a number of processes, lessons. So it's sort of acknowledging that while we're here, we're going to do a lot of judging.
Yeah. And I mean, we are living on planet Earth, duality, dual, and part of remembering the truth of who we are and practicing living heaven on earth is part of using the tools that will assist us to return back to our innocence. And forgiveness, like you said, is the pathway. Forgiveness is a tool. Forgiveness is something that we can use until we act like God would. And there's nothing left to forgive until we get to that point.
Yes. So we purify, basically we come to a place of seeing a world in which there is no projected guilt. And A Course in Miracles call that the real world.
Yeah. That's the real world.
And it says that it actually is part of an illusion also, and it sort of cryptically says once we get to this place, there is something beyond even that, but there's no form, no time, and it just cryptically says that God will take us to that step when we've... So our work here is actually healing our perception here, i.e. forgiveness here.
Yeah. You know, you are a traveler, and you've gone to Costa Rica many times. I've talked to you about Costa Rica, and I'm putting together a retreat next year, April 2020, to do a retreat in Costa Rica. And my travel agent that I'm working with said to me that when you get off on the plane there, and every person that greets you there greets you with Pura Vida. Pura Vida means pure life, right? And this is the way that we're returning back to our pure life, our purity, our innocence, our the truth of who we are. And I just love that. I imagine, you know, if this is how we greeted each other here every single day, this way, in this sacred atonement, and with these sacred words, with this innocence of the truth of who we are, this honoring for each other, for being here and remembering who we are.
Yes, absolutely. Well, actually, the times that I went to Costa Rica was to visit a healing retreat center that was created by a friend, Dietrich Wolsock, which is a retreat center based on forgiveness. And I'm going to put in just a little plug for Dietrich's book here.
Yay, choose again.
And he describes a six-step forgiveness process, one of a number of different processes, but they've used it there with great effect for years.
Yeah. You know, I love that we're talking about this again today, because there's just so many people that are suffering right now, and that bringing this topic and bringing this tool, and especially people that are not going to church because of the conditioning of the past and whatever beliefs they may have. So, you know, using forgiveness as a tool in your own private communication with Source, with God, with your own journal, with your own process, whether you're doing the Course in Miracles or whatever you're doing, but that this is a tool for you to use.
Yeah.
I was sharing this information today.
Yeah. So I'm getting an idea here. This is, I have a practice we could do. It's from one of the lessons. We could do that.
Yeah. A practice. Yeah. I would love to do that. Why don't we do this, Dennis? Why don't we take a break?
Okay.
And we'll come back and we'll do the practice.
Okay.
And then we'll finish the talking points, because we are already a quarter till it's over. So it goes back by so fast. Thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. We're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Healing Through Forgiveness and Returning to Our Innocence. We'll be right back.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
I have struggled with anxiety my entire adult life. My mind was constantly filled with feelings of dread and negative thoughts about myself. But then I completed Dr. Friedemann's Breakthrough Program and can't believe how much my life has changed in just a few months. Dr. Friedemann's methods are different from anything I've ever tried, and they make so much sense, and more importantly, they work. I can never thank Dr. Friedemann enough for his guidance and wisdom. Visit theempowermentsolution.com and find out how his Breakthrough Program can help you transform your life.
Have you heard the story of the snake and the rope? One evening, a young woman was walking down a country road. It was growing dark. Suddenly, she froze. Up ahead was a coiled snake. She was terrified. She reached into her bag for a flashlight and directed the beam of light towards the snake. Now she was flooded with relief. It was just a piece of old rope. That snake stands for all our imaginary fears and insecurities that sap our confidence. The beam of light is conscious confidence. Ask yourself, how many snakes did I see today? How many actions or words did I stifle through fear? Hi, I'm Sara Main, creator of Conscious Confidence. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Pat, for Conscious Confidence Radio on transformationtalkradio.com. Learn more about how you can live a life filled with conscious confidence. Go to my website, consciousconfidence.com.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all parties and all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Dennis Gaither on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We're talking about forgiveness and healing through forgiveness and returning to our innocence. And before we went to break, Dennis reminded us, hey, let's do a practice. So I'm inviting the audience, anyone that wants to participate here in this segment with us, we're going to do a process, something that Dennis designed himself. So take us through it.
All right. Well. Actually, I want to clarify. I didn't design this one. It actually is from one of the workbook lessons in the course.
Oh, okay.
I designed some of them, but this one I couldn't top this one.
You couldn't top this one. Okay. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Okay. So, but this was actually from lesson 121 in the course. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. So.
Love that.
So let's do this. This is a practice that's done entirely within. So I'm going to just walk you through it.
Okay.
And it starts by I'm going to invite anyone who wants to participate to just close your eyes for a moment and take a few breaths and just settle in. Just becoming aware of whatever thoughts, feelings, body sensations that might be there. And so we'll begin by thinking of someone that you feel like you don't like. Perhaps even someone you might regard as an enemy or someone that you feel in some way in opposition to you, at least. Someone who seems to irritate you in some way. Or maybe it just causes some sense of regret if you should meet that person. It might be someone you actively despise, or maybe you just try to overlook. It really does not matter what form your anger may take. And it's quite possible you've chosen this person already. Whoever it is, they will do. Take a moment and just see this one in your mind and look at them a while. Notice their face, their mannerisms, their voice. All those little things that you associate with that one. Take your time. Notice the feelings, whatever they are, with as little judgment as possible, just letting them move through, just letting them float by. And then see if you'd be willing to see some light in this one, somewhere, some little glimmer, some little gleam that you'd maybe never noticed before. So just being willing to see that possibility that maybe there is this little gleam that I haven't noticed before. And see if you can find that little spark of brightness shining through whatever the negative picture you may have of them. And look at this picture until you see that light in it, and let this light extend until it completely covers them. Until it completely covers them and makes the picture beautiful and good. Take your time with that and notice what that feels like inside as you just allow the picture to see the beauty in the picture. And take a little time with that, perhaps change perception a little while, and then turn your mind to a different person, someone that you might call a friend. And try to transfer that light that you learned to see around your former, possibly enemy, or someone that you didn't like. See if you can transfer that light now also around the friend. And perceive the friend as now more than just a friend to you. From that light, his holiness shows your own holiness. So you let this light show the holiness of that one, show you your own holiness, saved and healing, healed and whole. Then let that one offer the light that you see in him, and let the other person both unite in that same light in blessing you with what you gave. The same light you gave to them, they now give to you. And now you are one with them, and they with you. Now have you been forgiven by yourself? Just allow yourself to remember after this process completes, but as you continue through the day, to just appreciate the role that forgiveness plays in bringing happiness to every unforgiving mind, including yours among them.
So beautiful.
No, I love that practice. It's amazing.
So beautiful. It's so beautiful. At first, I couldn't find anybody because the other day when we were preparing for the show, we did a little bit of this practice, and I brought somebody in, and that certainly isn't the person anymore. So now I had to like go way back. Is there anybody? So I found somebody. Guess what? I found somebody, and it was great. So I didn't expect that because that just popped up. So it was like, okay, well, it's really cool.
Some excitement there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. And yeah. The what I felt is the relief. The relief that you spoke about earlier, about when we practice this forgiveness, that there is a sense of relief. And this is what I felt like. It's just a relief. It's a freedom. It's a freedom. It's being free from this. And I think what brought it really to mind is when you said, when you would run into this person. And I thought, yeah, because a lot of times, you know, you don't want to run into a person
like
that. And you would keep the wall of separation going. Mm-hmm. You would keep it, you know, yes. You would keep the wall of separation going, right? But by doing this, it's open now. And it's healed and it's unified.
Yes. So what a relief. And there's joy there. There's joy that is allowed to come through, the joy of connection.
And isn't that the innocence that you were talking about?
Yeah.
Returning to our innocence, because it's the joy being childlike and yay, I'm free.
Yeah, I'm free. Absolutely. I'm free. And there's also there's always a place of warmth. It's like this place of
warmth. I am really hot right now.
It's a delighted warmth. It's not like a hot warmth. It's more of just like a pleasant, warm feeling of delight.
Yeah, it's really sweet. It's warm because, again, it's that light that you were talking about. And beautiful. So we have just a few minutes left, Dennis. Let's wrap up for the audience today. Dennis Gaither talking about the power of forgiveness and transformational forgiveness. what are the key points that you want to leave people with today?
Okay. So one of the key ones is that your innocence, our innocence, my innocence, is who we are. It's our true nature. We've never lost it. We have lost our awareness of it. But there is a way back, and there is a presence inside of us that can guide us back. It's like the still small voice. Mm-hmm. When we're willing to come to a quiet place inside and open our heart, that still small voice can guide us back to our innocence.
Yes.
And the healing that happens is always mutual. It's not like just our own healing. There is an intention that, for me, starts a forgiveness process. Is I really want to see this other person released from any sense of guilt.
Yeah.
And that orients my own intention not to hold on to anything with them, but it also frees me up to not hold something with myself.
Yeah.
So we are actually forgiving ourselves by forgiving others, and vice versa. We forgive ourselves and it makes it easier to forgive. So there's a reciprocal process there.
Yeah. So that's a beautiful way to end the show today. It's practicing.
Did we lose a connection here?
Forgiveness, for forgiving yourself and for forgiving whoever it is that has caused you any sort of suffering, any sort of guilt, any sort of, whatever it is, any sort of hurt, any sort of pain.
One more key point is that the key is the willingness.
The key is
willingness.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Namaste.
Blessings. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.